Blog Talk Radio.
This has always been a word planet. God designed it that way. See, he spoke the universe into being.
Can you all hear me?
I can now, Denise.
Okay, I'm so sorry. I think I was clicking the wrong buttons. I tell you, a breaker make you forget what you're supposed to do. I'm thinking I got y'all all on. I think I still had everybody on mute, so they might not have heard a word I said. But praise the Lord, everybody. We thank God for being on here today, and I'm thankful. I'm going to do my speech again because I think I had myself on mute. Amen. But anyway, we thank God for all of those that will be calling in, all of those that will be logging in, all of those that will listen to the broadcast later in the archives. We thank God for each and every one of you. Like I said, I was saying that we had to take a break during the holiday just to be with our families and things like that, but we are back on the Prospering Soul, and we endeavor that the word will go out and not we know when the word goes out that it will not return unto him void, but it will accomplish the things that it set out to do. So we're praying that everybody that needs this word will find us and that they will be able to listen to it and be able to grow, because we're talking about igniting our spiritual growth and being able to grow closer to God and having a better spiritual walk with him. And so we're just believing that, God, that this word is going to be a blessing today. And then, of course, I was telling you, I was really excited about what I was saying, but and no one can hear me. But anyway, I'm excited about the lessons that are coming up and the things that we will learn from them, because even though we may think we know the word, and we may know it, but it's always refreshing just to continue to go in, to continue to be, for it to be reignited in us and for us to learn and learn more and more about it and be refreshed and renewed in the word of God, because he said faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So we thank God for the faith that we're going to gain today because of the word that will be coming forth. And I tell you, I was excited. I was on the call earlier today with our two elders that are going to be teaching on baptism, and I was just excited about what they were saying. So I'm really excited about that series, as I was about sanctification and the other series that we have teaching on forgiveness and salvation and all of those series. It's been such a blessing to hear the word of God and let it be renewed within our spirit. So we're going to talk about today, and I'm going to ask, I think I heard Elder Dots on the phone. Would you just lead us out in prayer?
Sure will. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, we bless you, and we praise you. You are God, and above you there is no other. God, we take authority over every principality and power and the ruler of darkness right now that would come against this word. Let this be on the ears of the hearer tonight. Every word, oh God, let it prick hearts, yes. Let it open minds, and let it save souls. In Jesus' name, as every teacher and every elder that has come on the line, and we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. And we will thank God for that prayer. And we're just gonna dive right into it. Our topic today is igniting my faith through spiritual growth. And you know, I wanted to do this just as a segue back into our broadcast, and because it's the beginning of the year, and you know, people make a lot of resolutions. You know, they're gonna do this, they're gonna read the Bible in a year, they're gonna do this, and so we want to just help encourage you in those types of things. Are those plans that you have for the new year to get closer to God? You know, we always plan that at the beginning of the year because we really want our year to be different than last year. We might have had a lot of struggles and a lot of things, pain or whatever, that we went through last year, and then we want this year to be better. So what better way to get for it to start out than for us to get closer to God and for us to grow in our spiritual faith, in our faith, and in our growth with him? And so that's what we're going to try to do today, to encourage souls to get closer to God, and that in their journey, and just give them some instruction on how to get close in their journey, in their journey to getting close to God. Because it's different for different seasons of saints. Because we have, in the Bible speaks about this, and we'll talk about this a little later, about the different facets, about little children and about the young men and about the older fathers and how. So those are three progressions of spiritual growth. And so some of us might be at the beginning stages, some of us might be in the middle, and some of us might be on the end. Some of us might be on milk, some of us might be on meat. But nevertheless, we all continually have to grow spiritually in our walk with the Lord, because if we're going to grow in him, if we're going to start living more for him, we have to continue to mature in him so that we can be able to grow and be all God has called us to be. And so one of the tools, that is the first chapter, the first scripture on our lesson is Matthew 5, in the sixth verse, the fifth chapter of Matthew's in the sixth verse, and it says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And that is one of the things that we want to do. We want God to, we want to hunger and thirst after the word of God so that we can be filled with it. And so, and he promises us, so that's a promise right there. Because it says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness." So what he's saying there is, if we hunger and thirst after, we're going to be filled. Because he said, "They shall be filled." He didn't say, "Well, I might fill them." He said, "They shall be filled." And so we thank God for that, for that promise that he's made us there. If we hunger and thirst after it, that that's what he'll do. And so when I think about tools used in spiritual growth, of course, we think there's four basic principles that can be used for us to grow spiritually. And one, of course, is always to read our Bible and to read it daily and to find a Bible reading plan. You know, sometimes you have to have a plan in order to be able to navigate through it. I don't know what that feedback was. To be able to navigate through the Word of God. Okay, I'm getting feedback. If someone else wants to talk, I might. If I click off, it might be something new. Let me try another phone. But anyway, we're going to keep going. We rebuke the devil. That's never happened with my phone, so I'm not sure what's going on today, but. Anyway, I'll get on this other phone, and we're going to keep right on going. Does anyone else have anything to say about just that particular scripture that I was talking about just a few minutes ago?
Well, I have something to say. It kind of lines up with a little bit of that, why you're getting your phone taken care of. In Romans 6:1-11, I won't read all that, just a little bit of that. "And we were so united with Christ that when he died, when Christ, that we died, our old self was crucified. And when he was buried, we were buried. And when he was raised from the dead, we were united in his resurrection. And now we're no longer slaves to sin, but ours is to act on this fact and to live it out in faith." To live it out in faith. He's already done it for us. We've been raised in his resurrection. So we have to just, like you say, get in the word and read the word and let it feed us, digest his word. Because we know the enemy is going to always be present. And his job is to rob, steal, and destroy any good thing God has given us. So we got to stay focused. We got to deal with the old man. Because he's ever present.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, I'm back. Sorry. It took me a minute to get back on. So I didn't hear what you're saying, but just go right on, and then I'll dive back into it.
Oh, I was just saying, giving a little summary of Matthew, if Romans 6:1-11, how we were united with Christ when he died.
Mm-hmm.
And our old self was crucified. When he was buried, we were buried. When he was raised from the dead, we were raised. in resurrection. And now we're no longer slaves to sin. We're no longer slaves to sin, but the enemy is constantly there, present, to entice us to go hurry to God's word. So we got to stay in that word.
Exactly.
So we can keep our inner man filled with the power of the Holy Spirit through his word.
Exactly. That's why
so
it
act on that fact.
Mm-hmm.
And live out it in faith. We have to do it.
We have to. And that's why it's so important that we stay in the word. And so that's why that is one of the tools in spirit used in spiritual growth, because without the word of God, you first of all you can't know anybody if you don't know anything about them. You can't effectively say you know somebody if you really don't know anything about them. So in order to get to know God, you have to read his word. In order to get to know God, you have to have communication with him. And so that's why it's very important. If you want to grow spiritually, you have to read the word of God. It can't just be something that you get on Sunday morning. When you attend church. So I'm just going to go on. I'm not sure why I'm getting so much feedback. So either phone I'm on is doing the same thing. But anyway, I'll just keep going. You have to begin to learn who he is. And so the only way to do that is to begin to read the word of God and be able to understand who God is. And so if we do that, then that's the way that we get to know him. The Bible tells, one of my favorite scriptures is Joshua 1:6-9, and it says, "Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto thy fathers to give them." But then it says, "But only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses thy servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper in whatsoever thou goest." And then it says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is within, written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success." And then it says, "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." And I was having a conversation just about this just the other day, about the meditation on the word both day and night. And, of course, meditation means to read the word and then to begin to reflect on what the word of God is saying. And that's how we meditate on it. But it instructs us to do it both day and night. It says, "Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." And I think so many times we forget about that instruction. He's given us clear instruction right there. But do we really meditate on it day and night? Do we really follow that? Or do we just want meditated on during the day, and then we busy during the rest of the day, and we don't go back to it at the night season, but yet we want the benefit of it without actually doing the entire following all the instructions. So that's why he was saying, if you want to do all that there's written therein, you have to begin to study the word of God.
Elder Bryce.
Yes.
I just want to add one little tidbit to what you're saying about meditating on the word of God day and night, because I've encountered people that are intimidated by the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know how to read it, or where should I start, or you know, I started in Genesis and I'm doing good until I got to the genealogy. And I just couldn't understand. I quit. And so when we talk about meditating on the word, not to get it confused with some other denomination, other beliefs, we're not saying that you got to sit in the middle of the floor and cross your legs and, you know, have your fingers pointed up. All they're saying is to think about it. To think about the word of God. It's like when you fall in love or you're interested in somebody, you think about them all the time. You meditate on them.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to throw that little tidbit out so that it could be some clarification when you talk about meditating. And it's just to think about God's word, what God is saying in his word, and what he's saying to you.
This is Henry. Can I piggyback on what Anthony and Bronson are saying concerning meditating on the word? And we see it says meditate on the word day and night, right?
Yes.
Now, if you think about a complete day, it runs from in the morning to night. And one of the things the scripture is saying, and it's not necessarily saying meditate on it in the morning, meditate on it in the night. But what it's saying is the day runs from day to night. So it should be a complete day throughout the day until the end of the day. We must continue to meditate on God's word.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing about that, too, is the elder, notice who he's telling to meditate on the word. That is Joshua. Joshua was there with Moses when the law was given. When Moses read the law, Joshua fought battles and saw the power of God. Seeing the power of God and seeing God works doesn't necessarily mean you have figured God out. You know, for people who like to operate in the power. Seeing God operate in power doesn't necessarily mean you totally understand God. There are things to learn, and you are still learning. And then another thing about meditating on the word, you know, day and night, is that you can operate, it is possible to operate in God and be faithful. But it doesn't stay. We humans are like leaky buckets. That's not just the reality. It's like you pour water in the bucket, it leaks out. You got to continue to pour water. Or let me use the analogy of saying overflow. If you pour water, it keeps overflowing. It's going to keep overflowing. And if the objective is to get it to keep overflowing, if you don't keep putting water, somewhere it's going to subside. We got to continue to stay in the word so that we can be effective in our walk with God and in our witness. If not, we are not going to be effective. If you say, oh, I read through the Bible last year, I'm not going to read through it again this year, you are going to sell yourself short. And Brother Anthony said, again, don't be intimidated by reading the scripture. It comes to help you and lead you and guide you. The Bible says, that word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Nowhere it says it comes to trouble you and disturb you and disturb your peace and take away your fun. If you really want to have fun in life, then we have to become students and people who meditate on the word day and night.
Can I say something?
This is what Paul said.
When Paul was giving Timothy instructions, he said, neglect not the gift that is within thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbyter. Meditate upon these things and give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Not only did he tell him to meditate, but he said you have to take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt be able to save thyself and them that hear thee.
Yes.
That's a powerful scripture right there.
Amen.
Because if we got the word down on the inside of us, not only are we saving ourselves, but we're saving those that hear us.
Exactly.
As effective witnesses.
And they're hearing us more.
than in words.
Than
they're
in
also
words.
Hearing
they're
us
also
in
our
actions.
Action.
The way we walk,
the way we live.
And my notes is you can learn how to talk to God by
meditating on
His word.
But meditating means spending time reading and thinking about what you have read.
It means asking
yourself
how you should change so you will
live
as God
wants.
Knowing and meditating on God's word are the first step toward applying it to your everyday life. So if you want
so
to follow God more closely, you must
know
what He said.
And that's what we have to know because if you think about it, this is something that I feel like I'm starting to develop in myself as I read the Word of God. I begin to pray as I'm reading because I'm asking God to make these changes in my life, as I'm meditating on that Word, I feel like, okay, this is something that applies to me. Let me ask God to help me to change. Anybody have anything to comment about that?
I'd like to read Second Timothy 3:16-17. The word is. In 16 it says, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. And 17, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So it is to equip us for what we need in this world.
Yeah.
And
I believe that.
And it's an inspired word of God. So how can we lose, you know, with His inspired word? Okay. One thing I just wanted to highlight on is the fact that we meditate on His word day and night. I know that sometimes we work and it'll be difficult, but, you know, as I work during the day and interact with my patients, there's always a word that seems to run through my mind, you know, even when I'm talking to the patients, that the Holy Spirit would give me something that they may need, you know. So maybe you can't read it, but you can concentrate on His word.
Reflect
it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when I'm sitting there, I'll just do the Lord's Prayer. You know, I have it on my wall. So you have to find ways to help yourself.
Yes.
You got to put it out there so that you can find it. You can't be too caught up in people that does not have a like mind.
That you have, if they're not interested in what you're interested in, they're not pursuing holiness. Because people do have a great influence on us.
So we should have
so
godly friends
that
we can share,
so we can
the,
share
word.
The word.
And then one another. 1 Corinthians 15:33 tells us that evil companions
corrupt
good friends.
Good friends.
Which leads to 7:1, by being bound together with unbelievers.
So, you know, we can allow the enemy to snatch the word from us by being with people that are not unbelievers, don't believe the way we believe.
Can I say something about this?
There's an echo when they unmuted or muted, then I stopped hearing the echo, and then when they unmuted or did it, whatever they did again, then I started hearing that double echo.
Yeah.
So it sounds like everybody's saying everything twice.
Yeah. But we might have to ask everybody to mute their phone, and then when you're ready to speak, then unmute it, because it is a feedback, and I've changed phones, so it can't be the phone, they're both phones. Not really sure what's going on.
Elder, this is Henry. Can I say something concerning what the brother said and then Elder Poston? Elder Poston was saying that, speaking about the word and meditating on the word, that we shouldn't be intimidated by the word. And the brother said that the Bible, Paul writing to Timothy, said that this will save you and save others. Well, one aspect of the word, and then the sister read that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Concerning what Elder Poston said, there is nowhere the scripture is intended to be intimidating. It is profitable. It is for our benefit. It only enhances our life, our lives. The brother said, "I save yourself and save others." Paul writing to Timothy. It comes to benefit us. And then, as a believer, you must first know what you believe and study what you believe. It will cause you to practice it better and know it better. In the time in which we live, we can't just settle for our denominational way of thinking. At the bottom, line is, do we have a sound knowledge of God? Because having sound knowledge of God will cause us to walk better with God. And if we did that, we are going to be more effective in our witness, because what the brother talked about is that save yourself and save others. Saving others is witness. And we cannot be effective in our witness if we are not clear on the word of God. And the sister read this scripture. This is what we have to do as believers, because it is profitable for doctrine. What is doctrine? Doctrine teaches us what to believe, so we know what we do believe and we don't believe.
Yes.
Reproof. What is reproof? Reproof brings about correctness. You know, it brings about some discipline. And they even talk about correction. Correction. What is wrong? What is right? This is what is right. That is wrong. Instruction in righteousness. It guides us as to how we ought to live for God. Like we're saying, the scripture is very, very important. And if we are going to be effective, we cannot afford to be intimidated. And we got to know what we need to know to live and to share our faith effectively.
Yes.
Well, for an example, like the reason I say that, like for when I was in the midst of one of my impairments, and I got shot in the head and I was in the hospital. One of the ministers came out to the hospital because the bullet was lodged in my cheekbone. And one of the ministers, and you know, he was my friend, and he said, you know, he said that, you know, God is going to leave that bullet in your face for a time. And
Wait a minute, Tom. Mr. Henry, did you mute your phone back? Okay, Tom, now start. Because I think everybody has to be muted, and then it's not feedback. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. I knew that the brother had my best interest at heart, but I knew my struggle going in, and I knew that God was going to eventually bring me out. So when I was laying there in the hospital and I had the bullets lodged in my cheekbone, and one of the ministers came from the church and he told me, he said, God's going to leave that bullet in your face for a sign, you know. And I, you know, if I would have just took him at his word and what he said, I don't know exactly how the situation would have turned out, but because I knew the word, I knew what had already been prophesied over me, I knew what the word said. You know, I was in ICU for 24 hours, and in 72 hours I was out of the hospital, which that was a miracle within itself. But while I was in the hospital, when I walked to the up in the mirror and I looked straight into the mirror at the bullet, and I said, you know, I don't know from whence you came, but I know that no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against me in judgment, I will be able to condemn it, because this is the inheritance of the servants of the Lord. And you know, and my it's not about my righteousness, but it's about the word of God. And because I knew I seen myself going into the situation and what had been prophesied to me, I spoke the word to the bullet. And 2 weeks later, they were taking me into surgery and removing the bullet from my face. But you look at me today, you'd never be able to tell that I had been shot in the head. But because I know the word, and I know that, you know, we are God's workmanship. The word says that we're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, and that he has before ordained that we should walk in them. A lot of times, you know, people will look at your infirmity and make a judgment call on your life. But if you know in your walk with God, as long as you know that you're lining yourself up with God, and you whatever you're going through in your life, as long as you know that you're aligning, you're praying and fasting and doing what you're supposed to do, God is going to honor his word.
Yeah.
And because the word was in me and I spoke the word, the miracle happened.
Yeah.
And that's what I was talking about when Paul was giving Timothy instructions. Not only were you able to save, not only was I able to save myself, but even those people that have come behind me that had the same struggle that are in the struggles that I've already experienced, like he said, tribulation working patience, and patience experience hope, and hope makes us not ashamed to be the sons of God. If I hadn't have had my faith tried through the temptation, if I hadn't have went through that, I would have never learned patience. And then if I hadn't have had patience, I wouldn't have never even finished the experience. But
exactly.
Now, because of me going through those phases, what I call the phases of a test, you know, tribulation,
mm-hmm.
working patience, and patience experience hope, and hope makes us not to be ashamed. The outcome of the situation was, because I made it through the trial and the test, not only do I have a testimony, but I'm effective ministry-wise in that area of that infirmity.
Yes. Yeah.
And when we're talking about meditating on the word both day and night. You know, I'm in the scripture in the morning and I'm in the scripture at night. And a lot of times, you know, God just gives me, you know, he gives us, you know, after we've meditated, you know, like the next morning I wake up and God might just give me a word for somebody. But it's because of me being in the word both day and night. That's how we become
yeah.
more effective in ministry.
Yeah. We have
and
to
the
say,
of God.
Yeah, we have to stay in the word of God. If we're going to grow, then we have to stay in the word of God. And so that's what we want to encourage somebody. And I want to go back to another thing. When Postman was talking about being intimidated by the word of God, there are a lot of people that really don't know God. And so that's why the word is intimidating to them, because they really don't know God, but they don't understand that each bite that they take, each time that they let the word of God be nourishment to them, that it strengthens them in the word of God. It's no different than a baby. When a baby is born, it is on milk. And sometimes they're on different milk. Sometimes they're on a specific formula or what have you. But they're on that milk. But the goal is for the baby to grow so that it can come off the milk, go to soft food, and then eventually go to table food. And so the mother is taking the baby through that process so that the baby, and as the baby goes through that process, the baby is also growing. So it's the same thing spiritually that it is naturally. We become, when we come to Christ, we're babies in Christ. And so we begin to desire the sincere milk of the word, is what the Bible says. And so we're designed that, and so we're drinking on that, we're feasting on that. We might not know any scripture at that point, but as we continue to hear the word of God, as we continue to read the word of God, we begin to get strengthened, and our meal changes. So then when we were first on milk, now we're going to a softer food. You know, they get the baby food, the baby peas. You know, nobody like them, but we need them. You know what I'm saying? Or those various types of foods that we have to eat. to grow and to strengthen. And then the mother takes us to table food. I know back in the old day, the mother was nice. I kind of chew the food a little bit and then give it to you. It sounds really gross, but those were the things that were going on at that point in time in life. And so we have those progressions that go on at each stage. I think each stage has a progression.
Yeah.
So those are, yeah. Anybody got any comments on that?
I just want to piggyback off of what you said because I think this is important. When you use that analogy, if you really think about when you're feeding a baby, more often than not, they're trying to eat the food, but they're spitting it out. But
mm-hmm.
what you do, you scrape it up off their chin and put it back in their mouth
yep.
until they learn to digest what you're giving them.
Yes.
So you don't stop feeding them because it was something that they weren't used to. They didn't understand what it was. They didn't know what the texture of it was. It was a new flavor. But if you keep on giving it to them, bit by bit, then they're going to start to do like you said. We're going to put some little cereal in there because the milk ain't going to do it no more.
Right.
You want them to go to, so we need to give them a little bit more because they done got used to the milk, the liquid. So we need to give them a little bit more, and we heat it up for them.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it gotta
mm-hmm.
get hot. The work get hot,
but you gotta give it to them.
Right.
And what you do, they blow on it. They blow on it, cool it down,
there
so they can be able to take it.
Right. Right.
I'd like to say something on that on the baby. You know, I remember my daughter when she first smelled chicken, she loved it. And it wasn't time for her to eat it. But if she could still
mm-hmm.
get a piece of chicken, she would get it and get choked on it. So sometimes
mm-hmm.
we bypass the milk and try to get to the meat. It's not time.
Come on.
We bypass it, you know what I mean? And so we're losing
mm-hmm.
out on something that we have a void.
Mm-hmm.
And it brings me to mind a lady I work with. And she goes from, she started going to my church, so... of course, when you talk to someone, you're gonna bring up it's just something about being a believer. You're gonna bring up the word, just something about it. And she said, "Well, let me ask you this." I said, "What, sister? Well, where did God come from? What was God's why?" Well, I said, "Lord, have mercy." I mean, to myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she goes to church and she listens and she likes what she hears, but she have no foundation. It's nothing like she grabbed the center, but she grabbed some meat to eat, but she have not had the milk, the vegetables, or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that happens. You wouldn't think that, but so I'm asking God to help me, to help her. She needs
mm-hmm.
to start all over.
Mm-hmm.
She needs to go back to her milk, or go back
yeah.
to her nipple, her mother's breast, to the milk. She needs to go back and then to the meat. She's just, you know, she's got it all back. That's true when you were saying we don't know the word.
Mm-hmm.
You got to learn the word for yourself. And that's what
yeah.
I want to hear. I remember a time that I was actually just in love with the word. I just couldn't wait to get home to get in that word. And when I got in the word like that, God would just show me all type of visions and stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, He just opened up my spiritual eyes to see so much. But in life, there's so many things that pull you away.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in the wrong company, if your job and you mingle with the wrong people, before you know it, you've lost that flavor. And then you begin to miss it. Where is that joy that I felt when I was
mm-hmm.
reading the word? Now, I love the word. But I said, and then I was in love with the word, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to go back. And I said, this year I'm getting back where I was.
mm-hmm.
Because there's
yeah.
something about being in love with the word.
Yeah.
And that word is sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the son of the marrow, the bone, and those sides. That word's got power in it. And
mm-hmm.
if you want to really know God and know where you're going and know his heart, you need to be in the word.
Yes.
Taking me so many places when I was truly in love with the word. It's there. So, and it's a joy and it's a peace. It's excitement.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Other posters?
No, I just wanted to throw this out there. The beauty of how God is and how he loves us and how the analogy that Elder Russell was just giving is, okay, you said your daughter, she loved the aroma of it, but she wasn't ready for it. So the wisdom of the parent, the wisdom of the parent knew she wasn't ready for it, but you took her through the progression to get her there.
Right.
Because if you would have gave it to her too soon, it could kill her.
Right.
So it's like when we read God's word, sometimes you may not understand it, but if you read it again and you get a revelation, oh, that's what he's saying. And then you may go back and read it again and he gives you something else. Oh, wow, I didn't see that.
That's right.
But well, I'm a firm believer. Okay, we might need to put the phone on mute because that thing, what's going on. But anyway, this is one thing I'm a firm believer about. When I begin to read the word of God, this is my prayer when I start. Father, bless the reading of thy word. Let thy word be hid in my heart that I will not sin against thee. I said, Lord, give me bless me with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and give me revelation of thy word. That's what I pray every time I begin to read the word of God, because that's what I want him to do in that process with me reading it, is I want him to do those things for me so that I can have a clear understanding of what he said. And I believe that as I pray that prayer, that the Lord answers that prayer for me as I begin to read the word of God. I'm a firm believer in that. That's one of the things that I do. Mm-hmm.
As I begin to read. Go ahead. Somebody else might have something.
I want to say something. I met this minister years ago, and he said that he had a massive heart attack at Parkland Hospital, and they didn't think that he would live. He was unlearned, but he said he knew there was a God. He said, God, he said, if you let me live, I'll serve you all the days of my life if you let me live. He lived. He didn't know how to read the Bible. He said God taught him how to read that Bible. He taught him how to read it. He's still preaching.
Wow.
There's nothing too hard for God.
Wow. Can I say something, Elder Bryson? You know, even
yes.
as we are talking about the word and intimidation, and I guess to those who listening, and you know, for us to even bring some clarity, further clarity. So I guess there's the intimidation where one has that the word is too big. I just don't understand it. And then there's the intimidation where one may say, you know what, I don't like to read the word because it exposes my sin. Or there's the intimidation of that one may say that, you know what, I think it's requiring too much of me too soon, like you're talking about, you know, the baby steps. But the word, if you on the side where, you know, it's requiring too much of me too soon, it's, faith is a process, and we talk about that. It's a journey. You just stick with God. It's not your place to make it happen. The more you read the word is spirit and life. It also does things inside of you. It helps you to catch up. It helps you to grow spiritually. If you are the person that's saying, man, sometimes I have done so much and the word exposes so much. Well, the scripture says that Christ is our propitiation. He died for our sin. If you confess your sin, the Lord is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. The word doesn't come to shame you. It comes to make you better. You know, so you can be encouraged. If you are the person that's saying, well, man, there's too much. It's too big. Again, it's a process. You know, you see other people, it seems like they understand the word, they're quoting the word. Look, let it start that way. it was a process. So, yeah, I mean, we can understand the intimidation, but you don't have to live in that intimidation.
You're right.
You're right.
I think that's a good segue into our next point, because I think what a lot of times, especially for new believers, is the reason why they do feel that intimidation is because they really need to, first of all, they need to be in a good church. And the next thing is they need to always be willing to meet together with other believers regularly. And so that the reason we attend church to get or gather with other believers regularly is because in Hebrews 10:25 says it best. It says, not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as ye see the day approaching. So it's important for us to get the second step is, the first step was getting in the Word of God, but our second step is to make sure that we are assembling ourselves together with other believers, because that's how we're going to be taught the Word of God. We the fellowship, the worship, the communion, the prayer. We build one another up in our faith, and as we do that, as you gather yourself with other people, the word does become less intimidating, or you begin to feel more comfortable in your word, because you not only, so sometimes you're there with other people that are in the same phase of life that you are, and then there's people there that are in a different progression and even in a full, on meet, but nevertheless, you find yourself in there, and so you have there like people like you that are in the same place, and so that you both can grow, you all can grow together, and as the word is coming forth, it'll meet you on your level. It'll fall on good ground on your level and be able to be a blessing to you. Does anybody have anything they want to share about that?
Yes, this is Elder Dodd. This is a very good point that you're bringing up, and I'm glad that the elder spoke on that intimidation. You can be intimidated by the word in so many different ways, and the enemy, we know it's the enemy, and that's one way that he fights against your excitement, your joy. You being excited about the Word of God, or you just being excited about being around the people of God? Because one thing we have to take in mind is this, that we grow by the Word of God, but we grow in experience, and we grow on the testimony of others. We grow by being around saints that are on different levels or other levels. One thing that we need to recognize is that God meets you right where you are, and he works with what you know. For those that are intimidated, God will work with what you know to bring you to a point where he needs you and where he can use you to help others. So we're really dealing on a very good issue here that a lot of saints have trouble with, I believe, and in many areas, some feel that, you know, they're just not adequate. They're intimidated by inadequacy. They feel that they don't know enough to be a child of God, or feel that, you know, we're here to let you know that every listener, that God can use you with what you have. He calls the young because they're strong. He calls the old because they know the way.
Mm-hmm.
What we are accomplishing and getting to, those that are listening, is to be a spiritual and a God-fearing analyst. What is that? Someone that knows the ways of God.
Mm-hmm.
Moses knew the ways of God. That's why he could analyze and say what God was going to do before he did it, and God would honor it.
Yeah.
He told the people, he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Because he knew God. He knew the words of God. but he knew the ways of God. He knew what God was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he depended on God doing exactly what he said. And that moved him into the ways of God. And when you get into that dimension and that realm with God, you become a person that, we spoke about meditation, you become a person that meditates by experience.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying that the Word of God has none effect on, you know, your growth. It does. And we are excited about the Word of God, but along with that, we're excited in the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Am I making sense?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, that makes yes, it makes a lot of sense because we have to know, like you're saying, that God has a progression for us, and if we realize that, we don't have to be intimidated because we start where we are, and like you said, God meets us where we are. It's no different than when Christ, Jesus told him, he said, go get the donkey. He knew exactly where the donkey was. He knows exactly where we are as individuals. Anybody else? Somebody else was getting ready to say something.
I would like to read this scripture, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. It says, for this reason we also constantly thank God that when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the
mm-hmm.
word of God, which also
mm-hmm.
performs work in you who believe. And one thing I'd like to say is that if you read the word, and when you go to church and you hear that word, it's like iron sharpens iron. It
mm-hmm.
reinforces what you have already read. And you just get connected, and so, and that's a, to me that's a great accomplishment because I've seen that. So
mm-hmm.
I've read that, so it just reinforces what I've already read, and it
mm-hmm.
just resonates my spirit. And as far as people, you know, saying that, I don't understand it. You got to have a made up mind.
Yeah, you have to want to.
You know, I mean, you got to have a made-up mind. You can't just say, get in here and then, oh, I can understand this. But you got to have a made-up mind. You've accepted Christ. You've got to stand and you've got to try. You got to work hard to find what you're looking for. He says, seeking you shall find, knock on the door, shall open. But if you just give up, then that's your loss.
Mm-hmm.
Because
it's just like. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I didn't understand algebra the first time.
Thanks.
But I kept going.
I still don't.
Exactly.
I still don't.
Well,
we had to pass. I mean, we had to keep going through it. If we wanted to get to the next grade and to the next class, we had to try to master it.
You had to make it to make it, whether you liked it or not, you had to stay
mm-hmm.
in there.
Yeah, and so it's the same thing with the Word of God. You may not know everything when you're first beginning to read it, but you just continue to read it. I had read through the Bible many times, but really had never really connected the dots that, you know, what was going on during the times of the prophets was what was going on in Kings and Chronicles. And so you have to understand how it really works. It might look like it's just one continuous thing, but it's not. What was going on, just like in the book of Acts. What's going on in the book of Acts is also going on throughout the other Pauline letters. Paul was writing these letters at the same time. These things, those are the history books. And so what was going on in history was also going on in those other chapters that just clarified it, and so, in those other books. And so we have to understand really what the dynamics are. And so all those things, when you open your Bible and you kind of skip past those those little things that they that at the beginning of the book, you might want to read that because it gives you some clarification about what's really going on. And I think Elder Poston and I was having a conversation about the genealogy and why people skip over that. But if we really look at what's going on in the genealogy sometimes, it is saying something to you. It is telling you something, especially if we look at, you know, what's in the first books of in Matthew and the genealogy and how they're going through that genealogy and what it's really saying. It's really giving us, first of all, it's giving us the generations, and it's giving us, if there was 14 generations till David, 14 generations till the falling away of Babylon, 14 generations till Christ. So it's all leading up to Christ, but it's telling us the facets or the segments that it went through for us to get to this point over here. So we have to begin to understand that. But that comes with what? That comes with being taught. That comes with being in the Word. That comes with praying when you're reading the Word. So these are the things that happen. And going to, like I said, going to church, getting in fellowship that are teaching the Word of God, that can teach you these various things so you can have a better understanding of what God is really doing. So these are some of the things that are really going on. Then the next thing is that the next step, and I want to get through at least these three steps, and then I want to just highlight the other thing is, first of all, is maybe getting involved in other ministry groups. That can help you to grow and help you to even understand God some more. And then the fourth one, which is very important, all of them are important, but this is another, is prayer. We have to pray daily. You cannot know anybody if you don't communicate with them. You know, it amazes me how people can look at TV and make an assessment about somebody or a personality on TV, and you don't know them. You ain't never even had a conversation with them. But they have opinions about them. And so the thing about it is we can't even have an opinion about God because we don't talk to him. If you don't talk to him, you can't have no opinion about it. Because communication is key. Communication is key in all relationships. And prayer is our communication line with God. We don't have to do no form or formality. We can just have a conversation. Anybody have anything to say about that? Our time is winding up. Time goes quickly when we get in here. And I only wanted to kind of just get to this on one occasion because I want to get to baptism next week. So I know it's a whole lot more within this, and we might have to come back to it. But there are progressions in growth. And so I want you people to understand that those that are listening, the new believers, there's progression. And if we would, in our lesson, it talks about, because Paul, and I'll read this particular scripture because he explains it. It really talks about it so well, and I think it's in 1 John. And it is 1 John, second chapter, verses 12 through 14. And it gives us kind of a blueprint of our stages of growth. Because it says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake, for Jesus' name's sake, not for your name's sake, but for Jesus' name's sake. We got to keep that in the forefront of our mind, that the things have been done because of Christ, not because of who we are, but because of who he is and his accomplished work on the cross. The next thing is in verse 13, it says, I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that in... Wait, I think I must have got something. Anyway, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning, have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. So when we progress from when the children say, it says your sins are forgiven you because of his name's sake. But then the next verse, it begins to talk about you as a young man, so you've grown a little bit, so you're on a different type of food, and so now you have the strength to overcome the wicked one. And so he writes unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. And then it says, I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. And I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. So we have to understand, it seems like there's something there. But anyway, we have to understand that there's progression to us growing in Christ. So don't be intimidated about where you are, like Elder Dodson said. Don't be intimidated by that, because God can use you right where you are. And because there are progressions in our walk with God, we just have to continue to go forward. Like even Thomas was saying, says, you know, faith, you know, the various progressions, even in hope, patience, work at hope, and hope, work at this, and all of that, those are progressions. We grow in those areas as we stay with God, as we learn more about God, we begin to grow in these progressive areas so that it gets better. What used to intimidate me or what used to test me, don't test me no more. It might be a different test, but it's because I've grown. And so does anybody have anything they want to say about that?
Well, Elder, if I would add anything to what you're saying, the importance of this whole thing, you know, you talked about it, everybody talked about it, and the Elder said, he said somehow Moses knew God, and in that faith, Moses told him not to be afraid, and talked about how God would deliver the Egyptians. You see today, you will see them no more, and if you come around, because Moses knew something that they didn't know, they benefited from that. So there are people who have gone ahead. You talk about the fathers. There are people who have gone ahead of you whose purpose is to help you. They are there to guide you and to lead you. And Elder, you had a verse from Acts chapter 2 and talking about the saints congregating together and fellowshipping together. For the sister, so continually did they in one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Because this is the purpose for the church. In the group of people, there were seasoned people and there were unseasoned people. They didn't say all these people were people that just knew the word and understand everything. There were seasoned people. There were some people sitting at medium and there were some people sitting way below. In all of this going on, growth is taking place. So when you come into the church, you are going to grow. You are going to meet people who've been through it, like the brother talked about getting shot and knowing the word. You are going to come in contact with those kinds of people who can help you and assist you in your faith. So there is no need, you know, for us to be intimidated. And like the 4 points the Elder listed and the last one, you know, prayer, all of those things are very important. When you come into the church, into a good Bible-believing church, you are going to grow. Don't be intimidated. They are seasoned people. They are there to help. They are not there to condemn you or laugh at you, because they themselves, when they started, they didn't have it like that. And lastly, consider the apostles walking with God, walking with Jesus. None of them had it like that. But at the completion of walking with Jesus and the Holy Spirit came, they had a better understanding. We saw the very same apostles that were running away, hiding, Peter lying. When the Holy Spirit came, the change agent came, they didn't do what they once did. They became better, they grew, and they established the church. And that's the same thing the Lord wants for all of us.
Yeah.
I'd like to add to that. We're saying, and you know what? The people looking on it.
Wait a minute, Randy. I think, Henry, you have to mute your phone back.
Onlookers, let's say potential disciples, looking on, said about those disciples and those apostles was this: we know these are unlearned men, but we take note of one thing. They have been with God.
Come on.
As ministers to me. Because,
yeah.
because in that, you see that God took some people from one stage to another, and they became apostles and turned the world upside down.
Yeah.
Isn't that awesome?
That's
why
awesome.
We get excited about the Word of God, and we want the listeners to know we're excited about the Word
yes.
of God, and want you to be excited because it does, the Word of God does bring excitement. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Well, you know, our time is winding up, and so before we go, I always like to understand that, you know, I hope that the Word of God has been a blessing to all those who are listening, those that will listen later, and that it will really bless you and it will help you to move forward and to grow and just to have a desire for spiritual growth, because it is a choice for us, and it is something that we need to do and make a part of our plan and part of our life is to grow spiritually. And so we gave you four basic steps, you know, to be in the Word of God, to join and make sure you're in fellowship with other believers, and then to, you know, find small ministry groups that will help you to grow, and also to begin to a life, a prayer life that will help you to have a communication with the Lord. And then we also told you that there were several progressions that God takes us through. And so we're all forever learning and growing in Him. So we're all at a stage at any point in time, but we're all wanting to mature and wanting to grow in Him. And so don't beat yourself up if you're not at that place. But what I do want to say is for anybody that does not know the Lord and that you want to accept Him today as your Savior, I'm going to pray this prayer, and I hope that, you know, if you need to listen back at it and pray it. And it just says, "Dear Lord Jesus, I know I am a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. Guide my life and help me to do your will. In Jesus' name we pray, amen." And so if you pray that prayer and you don't have a church, find you a good Bible-believing teaching church that will help you to go through these progressions and become even better, grow in spiritual maturity and ignite your faith in Christ. And I hope that this lesson has been a blessing to you today. And so we're going to close it out, and I'm going to ask, I hope he's Pastor Elder Paulson, if he will pray our prayer, and then we will be back here this time next week at 6 o'clock Central Standard Time, and we're going to start our series on baptism. We thank all of you for joining us today, and, of course, all of those that were on the line, as always, I plead the blood of Jesus over your life, that the Lord will bless you, do exceeding abundantly, and above all, that you may even ask a thing. Elder Poston, will you pray us out?
Father God, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify you, O Lord God. We're humbled by your blessing and giving us the opportunity to discuss your word, to learn and study and meditate on what you are saying to us as your people, God. We pray, O Lord God, that we are all good ground, and every ear that heard your word tonight is good ground, and it would produce fruit that would be pleasant in our sight, O Lord God. We rebuke the enemy, we rebuke the spirit of fear and doubt, and Lord God, we claim victory and deliverance and souls for your kingdom. And we thank you, O Lord God, endow us with your spirit of wisdom and fill us with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. So thank you all. We'll see you here next week. God bless you and have a blessed week. Bye-bye.
Good night.